If the jury here in Boston does opt for the death penalty, Johar Tsarnaev would likely face a prospect of death by lethal injection. And there are a lot of questions surrounding lethal injections, especially after last year's botched execution of a death row inmate in Oklahoma. In that case, authorities were forced to use an untested cocktail of drugs for the execution because their preferred drug, sodium thiopental, wasn't available. Several states have faced that problem recently. Jeffrey Stern has a story about this in The Atlantic. He says when supplies of sodium thiopental suddenly dried up here in the U.S., prison officials from Oklahoma to California went searching for it across the globe.
In the beginning, what they tried to do was find the same drug basically anywhere they could get it. They ended up going first to England, then other countries in Europe, and then even to small drug manufacturers in India. And it was very surreal. A lot of these companies, when they were contacted and told by different death penalty advocacy groups or anti-death penalty advocacy groups that your product is being used in American executions, simply didn't believe it. They would say, you know, we have cancer therapies we can't get into America because we're not FDA approved. But states were able to skirt that. The FDA for a while kind of looked the other way. And prisons became essentially drug smugglers, bringing in, you know, sodium thiopental from small Indian drug manufacturers, in some cases by lying to those manufacturers and saying, we're taking these drugs to Zambia, we're taking these drugs to Africa where there's this, you know, really tragic need for cheap surgical drugs.
Now, we know a lot of this thanks to an activist that you talk about in your story. She lives in London. Her name is Maya Foa. Who is she and what motivates her?
Yeah, Maya Foa is an anti-death penalty advocate. She works for an organization called Reprieve, and she leads their anti-lethal injection campaign. But what she ended up doing was just sort of contacting these drug companies and saying, look, here's what's happening. Here's what's happening with your drugs. And it's in no pharmaceutical company's interest to be associated with this. And as these states started to scramble and there was a little bit more publicity and investors threatening to divest, there were reporters beginning to cover these companies, the downside became bigger and pharmaceutical companies began to act. And it's this interesting sort of, you know, strange bedfellows where you have the sort of liberal left anti-death penalty advocates actually perfectly aligned in their motivation on this one issue with Big Pharma.
Mm. Do you think states like Oklahoma would still be getting their lethal injections from here, there, and everywhere were it not for Maya Foa?
I think that's probably safe to say. I think Maya Foa would probably be a little bit shy about saying that. But I think that's fair to say. I think that shining a light on what these states are doing and then informing the pharmaceutical companies of what they're doing is one of the things that's made it so difficult for states to get drugs.
You know, it's kind of weird to make a defense for a kinder form of capital punishment, and our city of Boston, as you know, is grappling with the death penalty mm-hmm. versus a lifetime in essentially solitary confinement for the Boston Marathon bomber. But you do make the point that, like, hanging is definitely quicker than lethal injection and probably more humane, if you can say that. Where do you think the problems of lethal injection and these crazy cocktails, where does it take this country's continued use of the death penalty?
I think that might be the question. I have the sense that every generation comes up with its own method of execution that we believe is more humane than the previous ones. We always feel we do it a little bit better. But I think there's something to the fact that executions have gone from being a public spectacle, you know, the idea of deterrent and, you know, eye for an eye and something that happened in the town square, to something that's become smaller and quieter. It's almost as if there's sort of the beginning of an embarrassment about it. The thing about lethal injection is that to the unassuming reader or news viewer, myself included, prior to beginning this investigation, it's just very easy to look at this as something that's very clinical, that is almost medical. I mean, it looks medical, right? And I think the most important thing, the thing that we're trying to do with this article more than anything else is show what it's actually like. It's sort of pull down the cover a little bit and let people see what lethal injection actually means and let people decide for themselves whether that means that capital punishment is something we want to support as a society or not.
Because of its kind of being out of the way of the public eye and its precision, do you think lethal injection is the drone program of the U.S. prison system?
That's a really interesting analogy. I hadn't thought of that. I think that's a fairly accurate way to put it. It does our dirty work and we don't really have to see it.
Jeffrey Stern with The Atlantic, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed talking to you.